I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
From Wayne Jackson Studios and Rock Carter Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining me is a man who just generally looks a little bit confused. It's Adam Rosenbach.
G'day, Michael. Good to be here. Obviously, in a very flexible season, things are changing very rapidly. But one thing I wanted to bring up now, I think the AFL have made an error here. Now, this has got nothing to do with the fixture, but I was watching Carlton and Essendon on Saturday night, right? Now, Carlton won in Geelong the week before, yeah?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then on the Saturday night, they did this thing where they said that Carlton won again. Now, a team's allowed to win two games in a row? Like, because I just can't get my head around this. So, because usually, sure. Like, if we have a win, it's followed by about eight L's, and we're just not used to it. And so I was just like, why are they singing the song? We don't get to sing the song for like another 2 months now. Because we did it last week.
I know. That's usually how I like to see it go down. I like to think in this weird thing. I mean, for the last, what, 3-4 months, everyone's just walking around going, wow, strange times, man. Strange times. Yeah, I think 2020 went up a notch on Saturday Night.
we went back to back. And there's every chance of a three-peat this Thursday night against St Kilda.
Yeah, I think that's why, yeah. Carlton winning two in a row, I think that's the definition of a second wave, okay? dude, and you won it with a headbutt too, which I like to see.
Yes.
I like to see how, you're not playing the traditional game to get over the line.
Well, all right, so Essendon have it down in their forward line with a minute, down in their back line with a minute to go. We did everything we possibly could. Yeah. To allow them to win the game. We gave away a 50 out of there that would turn into about a 200-metre 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jacob Townsend marks the ball. He's like six deep in that pack and then gets the mark. And then when they showed it on that vision, that shot from behind, it looked like Essendon were about to win. Like, it just looked, because it was going dead straight, and you're like, oh, fuck this, this is all over.
I think you'll find, Adam, it was going gun barrel straight.
Sorry, my apologies.
I found it interesting the direction on that too as well, because you get the idea that you couldn't get an idea of the distance.
The distance, not at all. It was the worst directional choice I've seen.
Yeah, but it was literally like a game of inches right there, wasn't it? Like, who was the player who headbutted again?
Liam Jones.
That's right, yeah.
Which is
and
probably the best thing he's done in his career.
I think you should bring other sports into. Actually, I saw when that final kick was being taken, seeing he'd taken advantage of alternative sport. Patrick Cripps had one of those little scrubbing brushes from curling.
Curling, yeah. That's the way we roll.
So what do you think about that free kick in that 50? The AFL, surprise, surprise, have cleared it.
Did they tick off on it?
They gave it a tick of the approval. So they would have been
right?
They would have been down on the arc, working on it all of Saturday night, going, How long until we can?
Yeah. What's the right amount of time where it looks like we actually gave a fuck?
Yeah,
when
sure.
We were
but the 50 was there, I must say.
Well, okay. So it was a technicality because you're not allowed to go at the player until he steps out of the square.
Yeah, which is not a technicality. That's the fucking rule. It's like, that's like a, oh, look, you know, I punched him in the head, but it was a technicality that I got 3 weeks.
It hasn't been called all season. Every full forward runs off the mark as soon as they see the guy start to run out of the square.
So I think it was Saad who I broke down the game footage, Adam, okay, in my work as I'm a opposition scout for people playing Carlton.
Which vision were you looking at?
I can't reveal that because it's top secret, yeah. Okay. I don't want all the other clubs to get their hands on that kind of footage.
All right. Yep.
So Saad kind of hesitated before he ran out of the square.
Yep.
So he kind of took a step or two. I'm not saying he was frightened, but and so Eddie bolted off and they kind of got collisions with two Essendon players.
Two Essendon players. So he couldn't have even got to start if he tried to.
No, but the umpire has to... So, as soon as you step out of the square, you're fair game. Mm. But Eddie ran over the mark before Sard had stepped out. And also,
so I reckon he was running parallel to the goals.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. He ran out of the square. You got to wait till they get out of the square.
It's a fucking disgrace. If we had lost that game, I would have driven. I would have somehow burnt down the MCG.
And then the AFL logic.
And you need a lot of accelerant for that.
The AFL logic for the 50. And I kind of buy this as well. Is that because the Carlton players all just went, fuck, let's bolt to the back line.
Yep.
And so they all kind of, they in a way made the 50 tougher for themselves by the fact they all bolted. And so there was no one really guarding the 50. So the umpire said that they did put the mark, so the 50's here. But because the Carlton players were just trying to get back as quickly as they could until one kind of hung back and put their arms up, that the 50 was actually... Because the 50 would have been at the 70-metre mark. It's been 10-metre goal square, 10 metres on the mark. So you're at the 70-metre mark. So in a way, you guys... almost fucked it up like for a third time.
It was a fucking disgrace. And if had we lost it, I would have been rifled. But it was not, mate. It's good to have two wins in a row. And I was reading today that because it's Essendon, Connor McKenna has been given a one game ban for breaking protocols, but it got served because he didn't play on Saturday night because he was in quarantine. So he's out now. He came out. Yet James Stewart, who he was his tackling partner.
I think you find his wrestling partner.
Excuse I, his wrestling partner.
Did you know they have a wrestling partner? I had no idea.
Oh, you've got to have a wrestling partner.
I suppose maybe, what are they two? Put people about the similar kind of size with each other?
I thought Stuart was much bigger than McKenna. He's a little fella.
I've never heard this thing before, but Adam, I think you find if there's a wrestling partner, they could be described as a tag team.
Could be. Now, James Stewart has to serve out his suspension and he doesn't have COVID. So it was because he was his wrestling partner, he had to go into quarantine. You go, yeah, that's fair enough. Connor McKenna's out today and yet Stewart has to stay in for another week. So he's just like, what the fuck did I do wrong?
You should have seen the scenes. It was like that final scene from In the Name of the Father. Connor McKenna coming out going, I'm going out the front door. Come on, mate. That's a classic film.
Haven't seen it.
Sheesh, my form hasn't been great today. I might take a week off myself. So fuck, man. It's a convoluted thing. So Stuart has to stay in the house.
Yes.
Connor can get out. There are various theories about where Connor might have been at with the testing. Was it a correct test? Was it a false test? There was one theory put out there that he was at the very tail end of it. Therefore, so maybe he had it for like 2 weeks and he was on day 13 when he turned positive and then... like later, you know, it was out.
Oh, and then it became
system.
Negative.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And then
they were saying that he got it in Ireland.
Do you know much about the COVID action over in Ireland?
I actually don't, but I don't think it's fantastic over there.
Sure. Do you know much about the COVID action in Poland?
No, I don't. I'm
anything
sorry.
Over like in Jamaica or... like, why the fuck have we got you on the podcast if you don't have the figures at your top of your...
No, it's fair. Brazil's not going great. I do know that. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that South Pacific are going quite well.
And
so if you want to go to American Samoa in the next couple of months, that's the place to be.
And didn't Djokovic just paint himself an absolute beautiful picture?
Nah, he seems like a ripper.
So then there's a weird thing that Peter Jess, who is Stuart's manager,
yeah,
he got a lawyer involved because he reckoned it wasn't fair that Stuart had to get locked up. Basically, it's kind of, you know, free James Stewart right now. And because he was saying in his final year of contract,
yeah,
he said it's unfair for him to be the only person kind of locked up just because he happens to be Conor McKenna's wrestling partner, tag team partner. And so, yeah, it's all very convoluted. And also the idea of, like, going into a courtroom or something and just going... this man has been punished enough. He's had Uber Eats delivered three times a day.
And they got, didn't they immediately courier them bikes and a treadmill? But Conor McKenna couldn't have a treadmill because his apartment's too small.
Oh, really? Huh, interesting. Yeah, gotcha. Well, no wonder he was shopping around then, because that's one of the breaches that he did. He went to open house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So anyway, things have taken a turn today, Adam. So
yes, they really have. It's a fucking hell, Michael. You got to be flexible in this game. That's what I've said to you all the time, and it carries no more weight than this year. Like basically Richmond can't go to Queensland because Queensland have said, "Fuck off, Victorians! You're not coming to our state, you filthy motherfuckers!
You dirty little filthy things!" Yeah. So
yeah,
they. The Queensland government say, Queensland, and also on the flip side of that, Richmond, well, Victorian teams can't go to Queensland, but also if Queensland teams come to Victoria, they then have to go and quarantine for 2 weeks before they can go and enjoy the wonders of Queensland.
So why can't they get a chartered flight, they get on a bus, the bus is taken straight to the ground, they're never out in the general populace. So why can't they just manage it that way? If Queensland has no coronavirus at all, and then they disinfect everything that the Victorians touch once they've taken off, like you torch the bus. So as soon as Richmond players get off, just you put the bus on the tarmac.
You chuck a Molotov in there.
Yeah, exactly. Just burn it, right? And the change rooms, they just quarantine. I mean, they just clean the shit out of them like scorched earth.
And then after the game, they burn down the change rooms.
Yeah. They give them a portable. They go, here's your change rooms for the day. It's a portable. They dump that into the helicopter, picks it up and dumps it in the sea.
Wow. That makes me think, actually. For all those times you told me how you had to go and, you know, do a little damage to a car. You go, wow, Adam wasn't committing a crime. He was just being COVID safe all that time.
Oh, mate, yeah, no one. None of the cars that I've done, none of those people are currently COVID-19 positive.
So they had to be pretty flexible. So you guys have actually moved up to Thursday night slot. With
prime time.
Yeah, prime time against St Kilda.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so there have been a couple of games where teams have now switched around, which would be pretty fucking tricky, wouldn't it? If you've been coaching and planning like this week.
Yep.
Thinking about what we're going to do, what we're going
to
play.
Yeah, so Richmond was supposed to play West Coast and now they've got Melbourne. So at least they can go, we're playing a shit side. Either way, it's okay.
It's kind of interesting though, isn't it, with your preparation, that you'd have to almost keep a running tally of every club at all times to just by the chance you could be playing them the next week.
Well, I guess too, we're also lucky that we're earlier in the season and we have the flexibility to go, oh, well, those two teams haven't played. But if this happens around round 15, you go, most of the permutations have been done.
That's really good use of the word permutations. Well done, mate.
Thank you, man. I try not to exacerbate the problem, but but it's just one of those things. It's you know, at least it's put Carlton into prime time where they belong, Michael.
Yeah, sure. Enjoy it. Enjoy it for this week.
But they're also talking now, they're scrambling to say that they're looking quickly at the Victorian teams are basically going to have to get out of Victoria and sort of quarantine for 2 weeks wherever they go.
Oh, my God.
So they might be able to play each other in another, like, say, in New South Wales, and then they can, you know, start moving around and become normal people again.
Clarko's pretty grumpy.
Now, this is Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah, sure. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I mean, what's he grumpy about? Now, I watched your game last night. I was there with friends of the pod, Limo and Husey and Paul Collegia.
Clang. Wow.
Triple clang, mate. And it was one of the worst games I've seen in a long time. God, it was shit. You were shit. They were shit. Everything was shit.
Yeah, sure. So we were about 30 points up and then North came back with a charge. What did we
what
end up winning?
About 5
points? Yeah.
Where those two guys, it was Ben Brown and I think it's Curtis Taylor, took the mark. They both sort of grabbed the ball at the same time. And then Ben Brown just took his hands off it. It's like, no, I won't. It's like, you're the fucking Coleman medalist, mate. You take the kick. What are you doing? And then the other kid missed and they lost.
Yeah, so I think, did that hit the post?
No, I think you're right. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, wow, we got lucky. And then Clarko just kind of sat down in the press conference and said, this is shit. Now, he started off by saying that I think Hawthorn had about 60 tackles and didn't get one holding the ball. And he was saying the it was kind of like half the umpire should be calling shit. And then also half that the coaches are being too defensive and he doesn't like things. And he just started bursting into tears going, someone just burn this press conference room down. Rosie.
He said, I don't want to shit can the game.
Whoa.
You know, our great game. Yeah, I know, shit canning, man. You know he's mad when he's shit canning something. But also, one of the reasons that the game looks like this is because of that fucking idiot ruining the game.
Well, that's the thing.
Like, he created this fucking problem.
Yeah, well, he talked about how...
Your team plays that fucking chip around bullshit that no one wants to watch that's so boring and gets you wins.
He talked about in the preseason how they kind of practice attacking football. He says all the coaches do that and then you kind of push comes to shove and they start, you know, clamming up and playing defensively. But I figure it's the kind of thing, like, the coaches will make a bit of, you know, do these ones, a bit of lip service about how they, you know, just want to make the game look good and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But when push comes to shove, they want a flag, and so they're going to do whatever they can to get that flag.
But Port Adelaide are playing, like, pretty exciting footy, and they move the ball quickly. Like, it can be done. It just needs, it needs the coach to say, let's do this. Chris Cock came out as well and was like, you know, where the game's shit and stop asking the coaches for ideas of how to fix it.
Huh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So bypass us because, you know, we have a vested interest in, you know, what rule changes we want.
And then Clarko talked about something about playing skinny side of the ground footy. So is that's not the corridor. Is that like kind of the...
No.
A bit between the wing and the... Like, which
you sort of play the boundary, but not the fat side. The fat side is wherever the players aren't. So that's where you switch to. You switch to the fat side, but you're playing on the thin side.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure. Gotcha.
And then you kick to the corridor.
How foolish of me to not get that.
You're a fool. If you want to take a daring 45 into the corridor, that's what you do. But I'm more of a... I'm more your chaos ball man.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think
a lot of players don't have the skills to kick a chaos ball on either side of their body, and that's where this game's falling apart.
That's why you're always so good in the shoebox.
Yeah, that's very true. Like a chaos ball with either foot.
And then that doesn't help, Adam, that the players are falling apart. They're crumbling.
Tom Stewart, you're talking about?
They're just falling apart.
So this is an amazing piece of vision. So they do the, you know, when players run down to their positions and they engage in a little bit of bumping each other and they, you know, you get your hip and shoulder, you say g'day, you know, bit of push and shove, you know, it's a bit of showmanship for the fans. And then Tom McDonald bumped Tom Stewart and he's broken his collarbone.
Yeah, wow.
Really innocuous kind of incident. You know, you'd get bumped like that hundreds, millions of times a game probably.
Yeah.
Probably 2 million.
So, what's that about? 4 week injury, do you reckon?
Yeah, maybe 4 to 6. I mean, if you need surgery on it, they'll have a plate put in there and all that kind of stuff. But do you think then he should get a suspension for that because of the outcome?
Because he actually got hurt. Yeah, that's actually a really interesting point. Yeah. So you figure maybe he went in with a bit of a bung shoulder in the first place, or maybe...
No, I don't think so. I think it was just one of those things where it got him on the perfect point and his body went fucking pop and... The other guy went, fucking hell, I'm tough.
Well, that's the thing. Wouldn't you just go, sheesh, am I immortal?
yeah.
Like, if I just walked over to just push someone and, you know, they fell over and they, you know, broke their leg and all that kind of stuff. I mean, admittedly, I'd only probably do that to a 93-year-old man. But I'd be like, fuck, no.
Yeah.
I mean, that working out has been, has helped me.
Are we worried about Tom Stewart's bone strength? Like, should he be getting bone density tests? Is he eating enough calcium?
I wouldn't be surprised if that did do something like that. Just to say that's a weird thing to happen. I mean, you're famous for having a glass jaw.
That's very true.
And then what about your mate, Jack Silvani? So he was actually in a bit of trouble. He was coughing up blood and he got a cracked rib.
I think a fractured rib, yep.
And I think he had a bit of a bruised lung.
Yeah, you don't want your lungs bruised. You don't mind them if they're punctured, but you don't want them bruised.
I wonder what that would feel like to have a bruised lung.
Well, if you have a look at Jack's face, not pleasant.
Then you
so Zach Merritt got a week
lung.
For that.
Did you put an ice pack down the gullet and kind of just...
Probably. How would you? Yeah. How do you ice up a lung? Do you breathe in really cold air? You stand at the freezer and just suck in the big ones.
And so that's another point they were making about Merritt by the fact that it wasn't a vicious whack, but it was definitely a whack. You know, just that kind of, you know, I'm here right behind you. It
probably would have got a fine if Silvani had a plate on.
Yeah,
but because he's got very fragile ribs, and everyone knows it. Everyone knows you go for the Silvani ribs. That's always been a thing.
What a nightmare. He's cop an innocuous whack like that, and you end up in hospital. Spitting up blood. Oh, God.
Spitting up blood. Yeah, but then you get to get on the end zone, mate. There's always positive outcomes.
New movie coming out. We talked about the Amazon docos last week.
Yeah.
And we made some pretty sophisticated jokes about Stuart Jew.
We did.
There's a new one. So this is not Amazon, but they're an independent production company. They're doing one about Dusty called Gold Dust.
Good name.
Because everyone's
of all the of all the dusty puns they could have gone with, I think that's by far the best that we could have heard.
Because there's been all that talk about, you know, who's the Michael Jordan of the AFL.
Yep.
And people are trying to capture that kind of spirit, aren't they? So someone's decided it's Dusty. And
I mean, I guess they have, but you know what? I want to see it. It needs to come out once Dusty's career is over. You know, we need to look back at it in retrospect, like not as he's currently doing it. It's going to be boring.
Dude, I was about to say that. Like, what can he say? Like, that's,
yeah, nothing.
That's the whole point about talking to fucking modern day players. They won't say anything. They won't tell you the good stories.
And Dusty is like, he doesn't talk. Has anyone actually...
What's he sound like? I've never heard his voice.
That's a really good point. I can't remember ever hearing Dusty talk. Are they really going to... If there's a Dusty doco, right, I want them to follow him wherever he goes. Now, I mean, if that's to Vegas, then we see everything. What happens in Vegas comes out on the big screen.
Yeah, sure. And I want them to create some kind of time machine so they can go back in time and follow him from, you know, 18 to 25.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we get all that the stuff good as years. Well.
Yeah.
Not to shit on the people, the hardworking people who are going to make the documentary, but...
No. Shit away, man.
But
shit cannon.
There's one very special cameo I'm looking forward to, though.
Who's that?
The little popover to New Zealand. Hey, g'day, Dad. What's up?
Well, see, he can't even go visit his dad at the moment because of the lockdown.
Oh, man, what a... If that,
although,
if
could that be a good final scene of those two finally, when all this clears up and they can change countries and them reuniting, and that's... You come out of the cinema with, like, a little... one tear strolling down your cheek. next to the other tear, you've got tattooed on your cheek.
Imagine that, though. Imagine if, like, this... You know how often in documentaries they find... There are many documentaries in the world where... Weirdly,
it starts out as one
chance
thing.
They go, we're going to film that this person for a year. And it ends up being, like, the most influential, important year of their life. Like, it happens so many different times. What if the final finale of this documentary is that young Shane... gets on a flight, gets off at Tullamarine, standing there, it's Dusty, with another premiership medal around his neck, Brownlow around his neck, Norm Smith medal around his neck.
Yep.
The day after this year's grand final,
uh-huh.
They embrace. And then fade to black, credits come up. Shane was...
was supported
Shane was deported
later.
From the country immediately after.
I'd love to see that. I want to see Dusty, which is his favourite seat at Kittens. You know, I need to know more about Dusty, and I don't think we're going to get the honest truth, which disappoints me.
Hey, we got to hand out some cash for the D's, mate. They're in trouble.
Melbourne's in trouble.
What's going on?
They need
$1 million.
Uh-huh.
They need $1 million, but it's a bit of a weird phrasing of it. They need $1 million by Christmas.
Yeah.
They say that if they don't make that $1 million, they're going to have to put their hand out to the AFL.
Yes, and they get on the dreaded, it says here in the article, the AFL's dreaded assisted club list.
Yeah, which means that the AFL then monitor your spending and reduce your spending and say, hey, why have you got chocolate biscuits in the kitchen? No, no chocolate biscuits.
Yeah, why don't you just get the home brand biscuits? Like the AFL does the shopping for you.
Maybe.
So you go, what's a Jim Jam? You go, it's like a Tim Tam, but it's the Woolworths brand.
Yeah, it's all no-name stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, so. It's all from Aldi. There's all these weird German things. You're like, oh, I don't quite know what this is. What am I eating here?
Yeah, yeah. All the places walk around going, wow, my bum's really itchy. Ouch. Yeah. Can we get the good toilet paper?
No, can't. We're on the AFL's assisted list.
It's what we're July. July 1 on Wednesday, right?
So they launched the campaign on Thursday. It's called Proud to Belong, Proud to Give.
Yeah, sure. There's part of me, though, 6 months, okay, until Christmas.
Yep.
I reckon if we put our heads together, we could raise $1 million in 6 months. I reckon if we kind of went door to door, I reckon we could actually make $1 million. I don't think it...
Get close.
It sounds like a small amount to make in 6 months.
Well, also, they would have some very rich members.
You would imagine, yeah. Yeah.
Just get 10 people to tip in 100K. That's all it needs.
Yeah. It's a weird amount. Like, and a million. Like, I thought, like, I'm like, hey, man, I need a million by next week. Like, I can get my head around that. But, I need a million in 6 months. You know, when I could probably just, you know, get someone to sell the boathouse at the back of there.
Yeah, exactly. Or just someone to access. You're allowed to access your super now. Just fucking pull it out.
That's a very good point, actually. And if there's one people who know how to make, you know, good with their finances, it's Melbourne people.
Yeah, just negative gear, another fucking property. Bang.
There was sad news this week with the passing of John Kennedy Sr.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Yeah. I found it really interesting, actually. There's a story he has about, I think this was filmed a couple of years ago, but he talked about how a little boy came up to him, like at a game or something, and just walked up and said, you know, can you say do something? And he kind of just went, do something. And he was like, oh, the little boy was like, oh. And he was like, do something! And the kid kind of ran off to his parents, kind of all happy and smiley. But I find this interesting. His legacy is obviously enormous. He's obviously enormous. He's a legend of the AFL. And it's really cool they got to do that before he passed away. So we got to, you know,
yes,
see that.
That is very true.
That.
And he's kind of known from that famous speech in the 75 grand final where he says, don't think, do.
Yeah, I'm just kind of fascinated by that fact that that footage came about from, I think, the 1996 documentary they made about the 100 years of the VFL.
Okay.
/ AFL. And they put a call for footage. You know, do you guys have anyone out there? You know, what have you got? And a bloke found like a whole bunch of rolls of film in his garage and recordings. And it was like Tom Hafey, Ron Barassi, and John Kennedy Sr. But this is like also a sliding doors kind of thing as well. If I think they were making a doco about the 75 grand final. I think that might be what they were doing. So they wired them up and they were recording.
Right.
But if we didn't hear that recording, I feel like his legacy, it would not be...
Wouldn't be as impactful?
Yeah, yeah, and I hate to say that, but it's quite incredible, like, just the... You can be recorded at the right time, in the right place, and say the right
things. Yeah,
absolutely.
Someone might have given heaps better speeches than that, we've just never heard them.
Well, then actually, there's the transcript of the whole speech, and it probably goes for a good 3-5 minutes. Like, you know, we just hear that kind of don't think, do.
So did we not know about this before the doco?
Yes, I believe that was like original footage.
So no one from the North Melbourne team came out and said, oh, mate, this speech you gave at halftime. And I reckon the reason it didn't have any resonance is because North got flogged.
Yeah,
no, Hawthorne got flogged.
Yeah, stop saying North.
Because he eventually coached North is why I'm stuck with him. But yeah, it was North and Hawthorn.
Well, that's actually a good point as well. Like at the time, because they were I think they were about 30 points down at the same time at halftime. I wonder at the time, because they talk about, you know, the great speeches that he would make. So I wonder if you're going to go, you know, nothing different today, you know? It's a great speech.
Yeah, yeah. It's just another fucking bang-on story. Don't think, do. We did. We lost. You're fucking terrible. Can't
Yeah, go. But it's quite fascinating, isn't it? If we didn't have that recording. Like, and that's iconic. That's on his statue. Don't think, do.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah. And it's also funny, because John Kennedy Jr. joked about that when he became a legend, you know, John Kennedy Jr. did much of the kind of media stuff.
Yep.
But he talked to the grandkids and they're like, don't think, do. No, that doesn't make sense. You know, you have to think before you do. Lachie Neale, mate. Lachie Neale.
Mate, he upset a lot of punters. He kicked 6 behinds. And I was watching it because he was the captain of my super coach team. So had he kicked 6 goals, I would have been very fucking happy. But 6 behinds, man. I think it's time for Fagan to drop him, send a message. What do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, about time. Yeah, I've been calling for that since round one.
Yeah, true. You have.
And then he got on Twitter and he kind of made a bit of a joke, which I didn't find very funny, actually, Adam. I made a bit of a joke.
What was that, Michael?
Well, he said he'd been getting a lot of feedback on Twitter about the fact that a lot of punters had him for kicking a goal that night.
In their multis.
Yeah. And, you know, you can laugh it up. You can laugh it up, Lockie, but there are some of us who take our gambling very seriously. You know what I'm saying, Lockie? Some of us are in a little bit of a spot.
Yep.
Maybe they're an independent gambling company, Junkbet. Maybe to replenish.
We need the goal, mate.
We need to replenish the coffers a little bit, mate.
And when you had 6 opportunities to save our fledgling company, because you know what, I know it adds up to a goal, Lockie. I know it adds up to 6 points, which is equal to a goal. But you know who doesn't care about that? The Finks. And they, when I said to them last night, mate, it's equivalent. It's 6 points. He's a goal. That sergeant at arms, he when he cut my pinky off, He didn't give a fuck about my excuses. So, Lockie Neal, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, you might be quarantining through a straw, mate. Just, but yeah, get around us on JunkBet. We offer odds on anything, anytime, anywhere. Must be in international waters.
Yeah.
A few footballers in real life.
Hit us.
Here from Brian. I've had a few footballers in real life moments this year. First up, after shopping at the Queen Vic Market a few months ago, I sat down for a coffee in a cafe in Elizabeth Street. Okay, we've all got a lot going on, mate. Near the entrance to the deli section of the market.
Lovely.
A rather diminutive but solid gentleman was standing outside at the tables on the street, seemingly waiting for someone. He checked his phone and then came inside to order two coffees. Upon entry, I realised it was none other than Diesel Williams. There we go.
Oh, getting great man, Diesel.
He's still in pretty good shape and certainly wouldn't want to get in his way. Collected his coffee, much as he'd collect the pill on a regular basis, and off he headed.
Oh, wouldn't you love to be the person who he was buying the coffee for? Like, the way he would have dished that off without even looking. Just like, over the shoulder, bang.
On the wrong hand, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, there's a coffee in front of me. Where'd this come from? Diesel, Sawyer, peripheral.
Second up, late last year, I was at Melbourne Airport into the international terminal. I was just organising my things after checking in. I was about to go through security and customs when an implausibly tall and good-looking man, this must be something about me, accompanied by three ladies, still sounds like me, stopped next to me. He and his companions doing likewise, obviously heading overseas. None other than Brody Grundy.
Oh, look at that.
I headed off to security, etc., and did notice where he was heading. So that would have been probably going off for a bit of end-of-season trip, eh?
Oh, absolutely. Probably, you know, Bali. Would he be Bali man? Or is he a bit more of a thinker than that?
Yeah,
he'd have gone to, like, Myanmar?
Yeah, he'd be, like, going to Machu Picchu and, you know, studying
Tibet.
Ancient relics and the like. Yep. Yeah.
I like that you said that. I have been to Machu Picchu and I am also intelligent.
I've been to Bali. Finally, this from late last year also. Not an AFL player. I was killing time in the Emirates Lounge in Sydney before getting on a flight to Bangkok, where I live. I often take this flight via a connection from Melbourne and spend a few hours in the lounge. An area of the lounge was roped off, reserved, which I had not seen before, but after a while, there was a group of Emirates staff buzzing around and checking that the roped off area was still in good order. A small group of people started to arrive and were seated in the air, none of which I recognised. Finally, a tall, lean man with lots of tattoos arrived, David Beckham.
Cool.
Rather than sitting down, he declared to his travelling companions that he was going to duty-free shop to buy Tim Tams. It appeared some of his entourage were family, but none of his
progeny.
Jeez, I've come across as really fucking dumb in this episode. That makes me sad.
This episode.
Well, spouse for present. It turned out I was the only other person in the first class cabin with the Beckham party. Here we go.
Look, fucking someone's doing very well.
As the cabin only holds 8 people and each person...
Let's just pause there. Wouldn't that be great if you were on a flight and there are only 7 other people around you? Mm. How nice would that be? Rather than 180 sneezing, wheezing... douchebag, someone's in the fucking middle seat, revolting humans. 7, Michael. And you've got your little, you're wearing the same pajamas, so you feel like you're in a team.
Yeah, sure. I don't know what you're talking about. I fly private. holds 8 people. Each person had their own suite. We spent the entire flight ignoring the fact that I was the only person who didn't know David Beckham. Upon landing, the hostie told me I would be able to disembark on my own ahead of the rest of the passengers. I'm going to put an in brackets, scumbags.
Yeah.
Okay. That wasn't written, but I'm going to put that. The Beckham party would be waiting to get off after. Oh, you got out before he. This is earlier this year. Last year. I was in 1A on a flight.
Oh, yeah. Look at you, mate.
I think coming up to Sydney. So I did get to go to...
The Jetstar 1A? Or?
It's just by chance. I got off first.
Yep.
And I was like, this is cool. And so I pretended I was a premiership captain, bringing the cup back from the grand final.
Yep.
Just walking down the ladder first. Anyway, that was just me. When I exited the plane at 1:30 a.m., hundreds of Thai airport staff were waiting to see if they could grab a selfie with Posh's other half. imagine there that's the kind of thing too. Yeah, I mean, he would be one of the most recognisable people in the world.
Absolutely.
So word would get around. This kid is insane, man. From James. The year was 2017, and I was chasing my luck with a job in the Big Smoke in Melbourne. I was looking to do very well for myself. While I was loitering around the city waiting for my interview, who should race by with some old Richmond shorts from circa 2011 but Bashahooli? Big Bash.
The Bash Man.
He was moving at a serious pace, and I walking, jaywalking, outside the police HQ. With that level of confidence, I should have picked the Tykes with a flag.
Yeah, he doesn't care, man. That's what you love about Basher. He'll, you know, carve you up out of the back line, but also happy to go against the red man.
Just throwing it in the nose of the pigs, mate. Yeah.
Fuck the police.
In more recent times, after moving to the Harbour City, I expected my chance of sighting to be very low, as I was going to, as I wasn't going to live in Bondi. I was just entering the gang. That sounds like a cool band. Just entering the gang. But much to my surprise, I was going for a walk in the early lockdown phases at approximately 5 p.m. I locked eyes and said "G'day" to the cat with a giant story, Stevie J. He was drinking a beer on what I think the front steps of his house before taking his small dog for a walk. It was on a lead. It's good details. I like this stuff.
Yeah, these are great. I wish we knew what kind of beer.
I then proceeded to say, "It's Stevie J," which must have been very weird for him. But to his credit, just cracked a wry smile and nodded to confirm that that was indeed his name.
Yeah, that seems like Stevie, though. He'd be like, "Yeah, mate, you're on to me."
Nailed it first time.
Yeah.
Kept on walking so we could get on with his life and finish his beer. Having seen him out one other time since, so fair to say I'm doing very well for myself to be living so close to Norm himself.
That is true.
Did you see the clip online? I'm not sure. We've got more footballers in real life coming up, but I think it was Stevie J. It seemed to be in a kind of a country setting, ordering from a coffee van.
No.
Yeah, so the barista kind of calls out the, you know, latte for Norm, and then you kind of hear Stevie J, "Oh, who's that for?" And he goes, "Norm." And then he goes,
"That's
and gets
fucking
the coffee.
Great."
I don't know if that was, you know, a month ago or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That I just hadn't
That's
seen
awesome.
It. From Nicholas, was at my work at the Mini Ponds Bowls Club, which recently started up again. There we go. That's good. Getting out there. And who walks in but the man with the most tribunal appearances in AFL history, none other than David Rees-Jones. Turns out he works for one of the sponsors of the club. He sat down, had a few froths, great northern stubbies, spending about 3 hours watching the races.
Well, there you go.
That'd be a lot of fun, hanging out at the Bowls Club with David Rees-Jones, sucking back froths.
He's a lovely man, and they, the Mooney Ponds Bowls Club, has looked after myself and my friends group when it's been too hot to be outside for our KK, our picnic in the park, Michael.
Wait a second, there's a lot to unpack there.
So a group of friends, we do KK, and when it's
what's,
like
40... What's KK?
Kris Kringle. You know, you do the thing where everyone buys someone a present?
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't call that KK?
No.
I think a lot of people do.
You have to do that outside? Like, can't you do that in a room?
No, but we do it. We usually have like a picnic at Queen's Park, which is where the Mooney Ponds Bowls Club is. But yeah, if it's like 45 degrees, we went inside because it was too hot. And so they accommodated us. Well, and allowed us to bring food in, and we had beers that we bought from them.
God, I don't understand your fucking life. KK.
It's because I've got... I have these things called friends.
No, but it's like this fucking weird thing. It's like, yeah, I'm just doing Kris Kringle fucking in a park, and then fucking some, you know, fucking pensioner comes and lets me inside. Like, it's just a fucking weird story. God. Final episode of Junk Time today. Now, this time at a funeral. Oh. Last June at Bunyip in Gippsland with my girlfriend.
You know what that felt like? It felt like, you know, when Tony Jones and Peter Hitchin do the bit of a joke thing, and then Peter Hitchin has to go in to read the serious story.
Yeah, sure, sure, yeah, sure. Have a great weekend, Tony. Yeah. 55,000 people were killed today. I found myself looking at the wall of AFL players and saw Shane Mumford on the wall. Sausages! My mind immediately turned to think about the multiple jokes I could have made. I can't think of any. I don't know. What could you talk about? I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
About half an hour later, when talking to my girlfriend and her friend, a woman offered me a sandwich. I thankfully declined. It was only later when I was informed that it was, in fact, Shane Mumford's wife.
Mum.
Mum. Sorry. How did I say wife instead of mum?
Oh, here we go. There's some unpacking to do right here. There's a Freudian slip.
I was quickly told not to mention sausages around her. Oh, no, she'd love a laugh. I then had Shane's dad pointed out to me. He was double parked at the bar.
Huh. Oh, there you go.
Oh, well, I hope it wasn't a close family member of the Mumford family. That'd be sad.
That would be sad.
Hey, yeah,
but it probably wasn't, because you reckon Shane might have been there.
That's a really good point, actually, yeah. But how could you recognise him? He's so tiny.
Yeah,
he just
true.
Blends in. We are DunkTimeOfferPod at Gmail on Twitter, on Facebook, on Quibi, on Hinge, on TikTok, Snapchat, and the Gram. We're going to hit the road. Go Hawks!
Go Blues!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.